Welcome to the Mind Time with Melanie Bolduc. Today's guest is Lauren Windham of L. Windham Provisions. Welcome.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be speaking with you today.
Well, and so we were introduced by our good friend Hunter Boone. So we always give Hunter a shout out because he saves me at the last minute when people cancel their meetings. Hunter tells me that you lived in Napa. I mean, tell me your food and wine story.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up loving cooking so much. Going to college, I went to Auburn University, and going to college, I remember being like, oh my gosh, all I have to work with is a microwave right now. But even kind of in college, I started up like a teeny little baking business, just baking out of my apartment that I shared with three other girls. Anyways, I remember specifically senior year of college, one of my sorority sisters had dropped out of college and gone to the Culinary Institute of America. Right. Her name is Kelsey Barnard Clark. She went on to win Top Chef. She's a James Beard finalist. It's incredible. But I've kind of been following her journey since I was 19.
Oh, wow.
I guess. So after I specifically remember senior year in one of my psychology classes, I just went on the Culinary Institute of America website and like signed up to start getting emails. I have no idea what my professor was speaking about at the time, but that's kind of what started the ball rolling. And I didn't really want to continue on with my psychology path. I decided to move to France to be an au pair. So And that's when I was in France. I was in Paris for 7 months and then Marseille for 3. And that's really where I fell in love with ingredients. Completely fell in love with the high quality. I mean, like even just like a baguette with butter and prosciutto over there is game changer, you know? And I started to sort of develop a little bit more of a palate for wine as well, because after experiencing the markets in Paris and then moving to Marseille, my host mom in Marseille had worked under Chef Alain Ducasse for several years. And so she and I cooked together every night. Nice. They had a beautiful wine cellar. She would open up great bottles. I had no idea what I was drinking at the time, but that's a very core memory. And she was like, Lauren, you love cooking. You love wine. You've been talking about going to culinary school. Just go, apply, see what happens. So I ended up applying to the Culinary Institute of America without letting my parents know, but I think they knew I was onto something when I started asking for my transcripts.
Right.
Got accepted. I did the culinary arts program there for 2 years. And I chose the location of the Culinary Institute in St. Helena specifically because I knew that a lot of kids that are like fresh out of high school go to the Hyde Park location.
Right.
And I knew that if I ever wanted to open a restaurant or something, then it would be crucial for me to know about wine.
Of course.
And
what better place to learn.
Exactly.
I love that.
So during the culinary arts program, there's this little, like there's a 3-week wine course and with extra credit, I got over 100% in that class. Nice. And it was a very difficult class, but I fell in love with it. And it was the first time learning about grapes and elevation and soil and how grapes are better when they struggle. Like there was so many things about the wine process that really clicked with me. And I just soaked it up like a sponge. My professor, Professor Christy Defoe, absolutely love her. Still keep in touch with her. She's sort of a mentor in this industry. So after that 3-week wine course, I finished my culinary class, or I graduated from the culinary program, went on to do the wine and beverage program. It was a graduate certificate program, like crash course, for 7 months of endless essays and, tours of vineyards and tasting between 10 and 20 wines a day. It was an amazing, amazing program. And I'm so grateful for that. So grateful for that. While I was in school, I worked at Inglenook, kind of pouring in the bistro for a little bit, which was so fun. And once I graduated, I went on to help open Compline Wine Bar in downtown Napa with Matt Stamp and Ryan Stettens. at the same time while I was working part-time at Frog's Leap. So I got like the wine educator experience plus a little bit of service coordination and pouring, and we would do tastings as a team. And throughout that whole year, I was studying to pass my certified sommelier exam, which I did.
Good.
And so that's kind of where my, once I studied, or once I passed my certified sommelier exam, that day I remember thinking, I know the most and the least I will ever know about wine right now. Because once you're aware of the vastness of it, it's like, this is something I can learn about forever.
Absolutely. You never stop learning. I say this all the time.
Yeah. It's
constantly learning, and that's a good thing. So
it is.
Wonderful. It is.
So after that, I went to, I helped open RH Yountville, worked in the front of house, kept pouring wine. You know, if our servers happened to break the cork, they'd be like, Lauren, I broke the cork. And I'm like, why are you pulling a cork out that's 10 years old? Like, that's the rule. You don't do that.
Right.
So, you know, helped open that and then moved to LA, and COVID happened. I was in Santa Monica.
Okay. I was selling wine in Santa Monica 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. So 2021, I moved to Brentwood. And I covered Marina Del Rey to Malibu inside of the 405. I had Brentwood and Culver City. Yeah.
Hey, that's so cool. Yeah. My time in Santa Monica was a little bit warped by COVID happening 3 months after I moved there. But I, again, was on the restaurant floor helping open Ardor in the West Hollywood Edition Hotel. Oh,
okay.
So
nice.
Yeah. But I mean, even though I'm still in restaurants now, but just part-time.
Right.
In Atlanta for these last 3 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so why did you move to Atlanta?
I moved to Atlanta because, you know, I had been in California for 6 years. Mm-hmm. After COVID happened, I didn't really want to go back to the job that I had been at, that I was furloughed from.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be closer to my parents who are in Winter Park, Florida.
Right.
Also, having gone to Auburn University, a lot of my friends had moved to Atlanta after college.
Right.
So I was like, you know what? I think it's time to be kind of back near my people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did. I chose Atlanta. I don't plan on staying here. We can get to that later.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I've been here just about 3 years, and I feel like I'm finally kind of like finding who I am in this like early 30s phase of my life.
Right.
You know, so, cause I moved here at age 30 and I was like, let's see what happens when I do this and this for myself. And
it's nice and grounding too, to be, have your support. Cause you know, sometimes you don't, you know, it's all about community, right? So you need a, you need a good network around you as well.
Yes, absolutely.
And so tell me about L. Wyndham Provisions. This is your new business, correct?
Yes, it is. So when I moved to Atlanta, I joined a restaurant group. I joined Rocket Farm Restaurants, and I went from being a host to being a lead line to doing pasta, fresh pasta every day.
Right.
During that time, I actually competed on the show Chopped and won an episode, which was very fun. Got Conant open the Americano. And then I came back to Rocket Farm Restaurant just because I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
As their pasta cook. So their pasta prep. So fell in love with making fresh pasta, but back in December, I was like, you know what? I think it's time for my full-time restaurant job to come to an end. You know, I'm a single female in my 30s and I need to make a name for myself.
Mm-hmm.
B, I need to start saving for my dreams.
Right.
And that's kind of when I had this vision for L. Wyndham Provisions about a year ago, but it wasn't until this past December when I took a little time off from the day-to-day grind of work to focus on that.
Right.
So what I do right now is I'll do private chef dinners for a family that I work for here in Buckhead. I do meal prep for a client that works or that goes to a gym, and I'm actually hopping on a call at some point with his trainer to make sure that my meal prep is in tune with his macro requirements.
Oh, okay. Nice. So that's fantastic.
An exciting thing I'm looking forward to learning.
Right.
I also cater parties anywhere from kind of 10 to 20 people.
Right.
I will say, since I'm a one woman show, that's, I think I cap out at 20, but
I was going to say, yeah, it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. But I do love it. It's
right.
very rewarding. It's very rewarding to be like, wow, I did this.
Mm-hmm.
I did it by myself.
Right.
I did it cleaning by myself for 15 hours straight in my tiny little apartment kitchen here.
Right.
So that's super rewarding. And then my dream is to open a retail store. And I've got a whole vision for that too, because I spent a little bit of time long ago working at Williams Sonoma,
right.
Both in my hometown and at the Sonoma store while I was in Napa.
Right.
And so my goal is to have a very small boutique kitchen store with homemade ingredients and or sourced ingredients that I have fallen madly in love with that I could not imagine cooking without.
Right.
Homemade things from my kitchen that
right.
I want to
sell. Sure.
Currently my obsessions are like my cinnamon cardamom pecan buns that
Oh,
I,
nice.
oh, they're so good. I sell those here in Atlanta, frozen
Nice.
with the cream cheese frosting and whatnot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very good.
That sounds good. Did you
Atlanta,
ever go to, did you ever meet Chef Brian at Farm Shop in Brentwood?
I don't think I did. What was his last name?
Oh, Brian. Oh, geez, Chef Brian. He is actually friends with Hunter, our good friend Hunter Boone. And I sold him wine. That's how I know him. But when I was in LA, Hunter's like, oh, you got to go see Chef Brian. And he owns this very, very cool shop, very similar to what you're talking about, called Farm Shop, where they have a deli, they have a bakery, they have like, there's a little bit of wine, there's a little bit of spirits, and then there's a cafe, so you can sit down and eat lunch, or you can get a sandwich and go, you know? So it's kind of like very casual, but very like everything is there. You could, everything you could possibly want to get, Brian.
Yeah. And I like, I hope, you know, to be able to sell my fresh pasta one day that I've learned. And I want to have a rotating selection of 25, 50 wines that are mostly under like the $65 range, but like a couple outliers for special things, maybe. Or maybe I don't do wine and my store just miraculously happens to be next to a really cool wine shop.
Wine
And we
shop,
like
exactly. And
pair
somebody
up for
else
a
can deal with the liability. His name is
Yeah.
Brian Ramier, from a Farm Shop. And he has Farm Shop in Brentwood, but there's also one in Napa, I do believe. So I'm not sure where it is. I don't think it's in the Oxbow Market, but it's somewhere. Yeah. So,
Or when it, you know, when it opened?
Oh, let me see. So
I
there's
was
Farm
back in
Shop
Napa in
here.
August.
There's Farm Shop. Oh, no, it just says Santa Monica. So maybe the one in Napa closed, but there was one there. Hunter will know. But
Okay.
Farm Shop is just really, you know, it's funny because, you know, it's like I was in there one day having lunch and Ted Danson walked in and grabbed a sandwich and left, you know, because it's in that Brentwood neighborhood that's just at the base of the hill. So all the celebrities live like up on the hill. I, on the other hand, lived behind the Wells Fargo Center. So I was like, I was in the urban jungle, but on that side of Brentwood, it's really kind of lofty and nice. And, you know, that whole market, there's like a goop shop and, you know, farm shop and, you know, it's really kind of fun. But anyhow, I like that concept. And I we have, you know, stores like this all over, independently owned. For example, we have a LaRue Kitchen here in Portland, Maine. And there's another really great shop in Bath that, you know, is like a wine shop, but then a culinary shop, but then they sell food and this, that, and the other. So I think that I love this concept. I think it's wonderful. And I think it's really great that you, you know, for your age too, or have a very clear vision of what you want.
Thank you. I
Yeah,
also want to source, like, I also want to sell or have some display of like some beautiful old, like mother of pearl oyster spoons. I would love to sell some caviar. I personally love thrifting vintage glassware.
Oh, absolutely. Like those champagne flutes, but they're not flutes. They're, what do you call them?
Little
Yeah.
glasses. Yeah. I have
Tubes. There we go.
pretty ones. And I'm like, wow, by the time I open my shop, I could probably sell what I have collected.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And so where do you plan to open this, in Atlanta?
So I've got a couple areas on the map. Right now I am so in love with New York City. I have my eyes and heart and mind completely set on New York City. I have a little sign that I wrote on my refrigerator here. It says, New York state of mind every day until I'm there. And I wrote that on February 20th. So every move I make,
Yep, you're working
don't
towards
have
the goal.
there. Yep. My goal, I
Manifested
really
dreams.
think there's a market there for it. Everything is in New York. There's not a problem with finding a spot that's like where people are walking, you know. There's always gonna be like cool boutique-y stores. Places open and close all the time. But I just feel like I'm ready to do the studio apartment, the renting a commercial kitchen space, the downsizing a little bit just to see how I can like upsize my life and career and connections and everything. I don't know. I just every time I go to New York City, I've been 6 times now, and every time I go, I just feel so alive. And I feel like in that city, no one belongs, and so everyone
Everybody
belongs.
belongs. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And
I agree. You know, it is really, and if you can't make it there, right? You can't make it anywhere, just like the song.
right. So if
And
I get
so
there and I make it there, oh my gosh.
absolutely. Well, I love this. Well, we have our very good friend Rachel Martin, who I do some business with on the side, who owns Oceano, which is a winery from Paso Robles, excuse me, San Luis Obispo. And
Okay.
Rachel actually lives in his and Oceano's based in New York. So we'll have to connect you with Rachel. She's another
I
home
would love
friend.
that.
Yeah, for sure. And she's got a non-alc that is coming out now. There's a Chardonnay and a Pinot Noir and a Syrah, which is really amazing
Very
because this
cool.
is such an emerging category. So I've actually had two people who own non-alcoholic wine companies on my show, which is kind of interesting.
Really?
Yeah, it's such an emerging category. So it's just kind of interesting to see it grow and to see the interest. Like Rachel actually produced a whole vintage of a red, a non-alc red, and it completely sold out nationally. Gone. Just
That's
gone.
amazing.
Yeah. So,
Yeah.
there's such it's such a interesting category across the board, you know, wine, beer, and spirits. So this is a really interesting question. It's kind of food related. You know, you and I are foodies, I guess. I guess we
Yes.
can call ourselves that, or you know, wine people and foodies and in that genre. But I have a really good friend who's an apothecary, and I always think, it's outside of Whole Foods, and don't get me wrong, I love Whole Foods because I like to shop there, but it's really hard to find loose ingredients, and I say this because I have a friend who's a healer and she heals through herbs and stuff like that. It's really hard to find like rose hips and hawthorn and things like that. Like, it'd be really interesting if there was a store that actually not had a big section, but had a smaller section of different
Right.
things. And those things can be used in cooking and infusions, whether infusing alcohol or whatever the case is. But that's always just an idea. I don't know. It seems to come to mind when I'm thinking of
It
you.
does. No, I like that. I
Yeah.
like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
I might have to go back to my Elwinda Provisions like business document is about 42 pages long at this point, complete with the whole vision board and the branding from
For sure.
my friend Katie Smith, who owns Drop Cap Design, and she's incredible at branding and whatnot. So I have logos ready to go,
Love it.
but yeah, I'm gonna have to add that to my document.
Because it's always like, in this genre that we're in, which is the food, wine, and drinks business, right? And the entertainment business of sorts, there's always like, for example, I had someone on the podcast the other day who actually makes bitters, and he makes them from, persipons and all these different things. And so there's that element of creativity, but it's really hard to source loose products. And I
Right.
venture to guess in New York, you could go to like five different stores to get one thing and then another, the next thing and the next thing, but it would be really kind of cool to have like a little area where you can get those kind of loose things that people might be seeking. It's really hard to even find them online, and even when you do, you don't really know the quality of how it was grown, and on it goes. So
So true.
what is your favorite food to cook?
Oh. My favorite food to cook. So I go through phases. I'm
Sure.
not gonna lie. Right now, right now I'm obsessed with doing my cinnamon buns. I absolutely love creating pasta. And the restaurant that I work at now, it's called Alici by Chef Pat Pascarella, and he's so knowledgeable and
Where's
so
he from?
passionate about
Where's he from? Is he Italian, I presume?
He is Italian.
Yeah.
I'm not sure exactly where he's from,
Okay,
but
cool.
he lived in New York for a while and he was like, Lauren, go. I support
Right.
this. Like, help me with my restaurant right now. Like, we just hired you, but like, this when you get support from
right
a boss who wants to see you do bigger and better things outside of their four walls,
right?
It feels really good. So
yeah, absolutely. I think
he's
it's
so knowledgeable about all the different shapes of pasta and why they're shaped like that and where they're shaped like that. And I learn a different something from him all
right.
the time, which is
Right.
amazing. But so, cinnamon buns,
Yes.
fresh pasta. And then more and more often I've been kind of like starting to do demi-glace. Like I always have a stock going in the background. And I know that sounds like she's making demi-glace, really. But honestly, if you go to Williams Sonoma, the little jar of demi-glace before tax is $33.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like there's something in this, you know, like
things have become so expensive, just even ingredients, that like I was in the store the other day trying to buy a loaf of like bread that was made by Hannaford. So it was freshly baked bread by Hannaford. It was like $8. Hannaford's like a local grocery store here. And I'm like, you know what? And I've actually, that's one thing I've done this winter is taught myself how to make bread. And I've made everything from lemon bread to Irish soda bread, which I've perfected. And, you know, but I'm one of these people, like I'm not a chef by trade. I just do it for, because I like to cook. But then I'll make something like risotto. And then I'm like, I make it and make it and make it until it's perfect. You know, then I get the risotto recipe down and, you know, that's how you work. But this is my new thing is baking bread because I've gotten, you know, I'm just outraged by paying $8 a loaf. So I've decided to make
I
it for
don't blame
myself.
you.
And when you make it for yourself, you know exactly what's in it.
It's
There's
true.
no extra sugar. There's no extra this. There's, you know, and that's part of the problem with our culture is that our food is not really food. It's, you know, full of all different types of things.
All sorts of things. Yeah. That's one thing I love about my cooking is just knowing everything that goes into it is good quality.
Exactly.
The other, I've got some lemons that I'm preserving in my fridge right now. And once I was able to kind of like squash them into two jars, I had to drain off a little bit of that preserved salty lemon water with pink peppercorns and whatnot. And I added juniper berries and a little bit more water and some fresh herbs that I had, oregano, rosemary, whatnot. And I brined two chickens that I spatchcocked because I literally bought those chickens just to have more bones for my stock.
Right.
And brined those two chickens and my neighbors bought the chickens. And
Oh,
so,
nice. There you go.
And I mean, I broke even on that, you know, but like, it just feels good to also be supported by in this, like the very beginning parts of my business venture, be supported in that way.
Oh, of course. Well, I love the fact that you have your goal very clear and you know exactly what you want. And that's half the battle. And so, but it's all about manifesting and, you know, keeping that goal in your head and working towards it, you know? And so talk to me about wine. You know, what are your favorite wines that you like to drink or, you know?
That's another one where I've gone through a lot of phases. Call it cliche, but I've always loved champagne.
Of course, we love champagne.
I like Blanc de Noir, preferably. I don't really love Blanc de Blanc. I mean,
The same.
And yeah, it's just a little bit too acidic for me sometimes.
Blanc de Noir is a little bit more sort of fleshy and, you know, I know what you mean. Yeah,
like
for sure.
well-rounded, and there's something a little bit more like, it's like more of a hug of a champagne
I agree. That's a
than
great way
it
to
is a
put
hot
it.
vibe. I don't know. And I really love Italian reds. I love carbonic wines. I like when I can do a chillable Italian red that's under 12.5%.
Right.
Oh, you know, like super easy, super delicious. I jokingly with one of my good friends called it red fruit acid water.
Yeah.
But it's like so easy and so refreshing and like no
Right.
one like it. Like
Especially
anytime
when
you're
it's
like
hot. It's really hard to drink red wine when it's hot.
yes.
You
Oh
know,
my gosh,
especially when
I
you
love
go there.
that.
It's super hard to drink. But you know, is any particular types of wine from Italy? I mean, is there a specific region that you fancy? Or I mean, I'm sure you're getting
I
Italian
love
wine at this restaurant.
Nebbiolo. I really enjoy Nebbiolo, even the younger ones. I know they can be grippy, but even the younger ones they love. Sangiovese. I on it to be quite honest, I haven't studied in a while. So
My first experience in wine was I was a restaurant manager in Dublin, and I had a very similar experience where my friend Yvonne was like, Melanie, you talk about wine all the time. Like, you need to do something with this, because it's like, we're sick of listening to you, you know? And so I left the restaurant and got a job selling wine, funny enough, Italian wine. And
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Okay. So anyhow, I ended up, the restaurant was called Tantas Always, but I ended up going to Italy and then learning all about Italian wine. So that makes sense. So it was like a really good hands-on experience. And I just really love Italian wine. It's my.
I also love Freisia. Really love Freisia. It's a grape that's. Mm-hmm. Have you had it?
Yeah.
Freisia. So good. Also Frappato is another one I absolutely love. Like, these soup, they're usually in blends, but like, if you can find them when they're more 100%, they're just like the bright, zippy, fun, playful Italian wines.
Yeah, there's something about that whole peninsula and the volcanic soil that makes these just delicious red and white wines. But we'll dream about Italy another day.
I know,
right? I could talk about Italy all day long. So tell me about, what do you love?
What do I love? I love creating, and it kind of hit me yesterday when I was at work and I looked at my workbench and I had gnocchi happening and I had bucatini just piled up, ready to be portioned out and, for service over the weekend. And I looked at my workbench basically. And I was like, ever since I was little, I have always loved art class. I've always loved crafts. I've always loved producing something beautiful that others can enjoy. Right. I made bracelets when I was younger and I made, those were kind of my favorite things to do. And I'm like, cooking and also like entertaining and just creating something that others can enjoy has been a constant in my life all throughout the years.
Sure.
I've always loved it. I was a handmade gift kind of person as a child, which a lot of people get gifts from kids and are like, woof, like this is sentimental, but, but my entire life I've loved creating. I love watercoloring. I just like making beautiful things that others can enjoy. Okay. So right now, my beautiful thing of choice is pasta.
Oh,
so
good. Good,
all
good.
The different shapes. I just recently learned sopressini, which looks like tortellini kind of, but it's empty. It's just the way you fold it just looks like a little piece of tortellini. It's gorgeous. So I love creating. If that, it's sort of a nebulous answer, but
yeah, that's okay. I mean, hey, that's a beautiful thing, you know, and the great, it sounds like you're in really good hands. You know, it's like, not the destination, but the journey, right? And the people along the way who bring you under their wing and teach you the things that, you know, you need to know. And maybe through this connection, I mean, I'm certainly through Hunter and everybody else we know will help you with the New York thing, because, you know, it's not far from me too. I can come to visit.
So many people have been so kind about being like, oh my God, I heard you're going to New York. I lived there for a while. I know people here, like, let me know how I can help in any way. And it's been really amazing to just see, the support of people being like, you are going to thrive there. You're going to love
it. And you know, once you set your intention and it's clear, and then the universe just, if it's meant to be, the universe just opens up and welcomes you.
Right.
So I have no doubt that you will be a success. Absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. Yeah. So if people want to find you, they would find you at, on Instagram.
Yes. On Instagram. So my main handle is Lauren Wyndham.
Mm-hmm.
No underscores or anything, just Lauren Wyndham. I guess I was the first Lauren Wyndham to have an Instagram 15 years ago.
Yes.
And then my business profile, I will say, like, it's linked in my little Lauren Wyndham bio, but my business profile is L Wyndham Provisions.
L Wyndham Provisions. Perfect. And then, do you have a website yet?
I have a URL, but I do not have a website.
That's okay. But they can find you and contact you through Instagram, which is pretty much where everybody communicates these
days. And I have a business email. It's lauren@lwindowprovisions.com.
Okay, perfect. So thank you so much for coming. And do you have a song for us today?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go with Karma by Taylor Swift. I feel like I've put a lot of hard work and energy and literal blood, sweat, and tears into my
Right.
career over the past 10 years. And there are some really beautiful things coming from it now. And I feel like my future right now is so bright and I'm running towards it. So
Absolutely.
I'm
And it's
up by
ready for
Taylor
you.
Swift.
Absolutely. Well, here is your song. Thank you so much and have a great
Thank
day.
you as well, Melanie.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Color is my boyfriend.